listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Faith Alive, inspiring talks from the finest Catholic speakers. Today, from the 4th Annual Sacred Heart Congress, Mrs. Gloria Anson, the President of the Sacred Heart Apostolate. The 4th Annual Sacred Heart Congress was held at St. Catherine's Parish in Bexley on October 31st, 2015. To learn more about the Sacred Heart Columbus Apostolate, please visit sacredheartcolumbus.org. And here's Joanne Wilson with the introduction. Enjoy!
Our first speaker today will be Gloria Anson. I first met Gloria when she was a speaker, and some of you women might remember, at the Columbus Women's Conference. I knew then that I had been given a special sister in Christ and a dear friend. Gloria has touched so many hearts with her insights, experiences, and relating the love of the Sacred Heart. Gloria has 4 children and many grandchildren, and a dear husband named Jack. She's worked now for over 42 years to promote the love of the Heart of Jesus through enthronement. She's chaired and organized 4 congresses as national events, and the first World Congress, international. Gloria's president of the Sacred Heart Apostolate. We love Gloria so much. We had dinner with her last night, and we're able to just begin to even hear more of her story, 42 years of traveling and serving our Lord. And a lot of those stories are in that little booklet that you might be able to bring home and continue reading. But I give to you now a true warrior for the Lord, someone whose name is written in gold in the heart of Jesus, Gloria Anson.
Well, good morning, everyone. Wow, what a great testimony to your faith. This is wonderful. I'm very excited to be here to find out what it is that the Sacred Heart wants to reveal to us in the time that he has us gathered together. But when I look out and see all of you here, I'm reminded of an incident when we were doing a parish mission, as well as going into the homes for enthronements, also been called to go into carry out parish missions, and then this way we reach a larger body of people, and usually our stories are your stories. And then after we have the mission, then we invite some of them, what we call promoters of the enthronement, you call missionaries of the Sacred Heart. And so this one particular place that we were called to was in Metairie, Louisiana. Now, I work with a Redemptorist priest. I've been working with that priest since 1996. And as Joanne has said, I've been involved in promoting the love of the Sacred Heart through the enthronement. Now, I had worked with several other priests prior to that, but as my husband Jack would say, I wear them out, and then I have to find another one. So Father Bill's hanging in there, though. And so we went to this place in Louisiana. It was called the Divine Mercy Parish. And what was so unique about this place is that as we were driving to it, there were trees in the road. There were houses that were collapsed. All around it looked like a war zone. That's because we had another visitor that came just ahead of us called Katrina. And yet this pastor wanted very much to have a mission. He didn't know if anyone would come. He didn't even know how many people in his parish were left to attend. But stepping out in faith, there we were. So we go into the first night, and I could not believe it. There was standing room only. And they had to put up chairs all over. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I had heard, you know, while I was waiting, I heard many of their stories. How they lost the loved ones, how they lost their business, how they lost, their homes, how they were caught under so much rumble, and so forth. And as I'm listening to some of their stories, I'm like so amazed. And here they were there at this parish. Then I realized that they may have lost a lot of things, and yes, some of their loved ones. But the one thing that they didn't lose, which evangelized me, was they didn't lose their faith and trust in God. And that's why they were there. As Jesus was on the altar in the Blessed Sacrament, as they gazed upon him, they gazed upon him with such a grateful heart that they were even there. So when I look out and I see so many people like that, my mind just travels back to that moment and when I see the faith of the people. Today, you know, we need more faith. Amen? Amen. And we need more hope and we need more love. Actually, we need the Sacred Heart. And so that's what I'm going to talk about, the Sacred Heart. First, as Joanne said, I'm married. I'm married for, 61 years and 10 months. His name is Jack, Handsome Jack. And the story how I met him would take another day, so. But anyway, so Handsome Jack. And so therefore I have 4 adult children, grown up, married, and I have 18 grandchildren, and I have 6 great-grandchildren. Now when I get an opportunity to talk to the children in schools, and I tell them how many grandchildren I have, this is where these kids are coming from, many of them. Wow, what it must look like in your house at Christmas time. And that's where they're coming from. I said, no, you don't want to know what it looks like. But we're all family, all of us, and we're all broken. Every one of us is broken. Every one of us has wounds, deep wounds, and some wounds that are hidden alone to Jesus. And that's why today, more than ever, we need the Sacred Heart of Jesus, because we're such a wounded people. And we're battle-weary. I mean, we are just battle-weary. Agree? Look what's going on in the families today. There's this clash between the two kingdoms, if you will. And so we need to have the Lord protect us and be our guide, be our shield in these days to come. That's why in 42 years of promoting the love of the Sacred Heart, never, ever, ever before have I felt a tremendous need for the people of God to open up their hearts and their homes to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. There's like this urgency in the heart of Jesus. There's an urgency in his heart that he'd want so much to come into our homes and into our families. And he wants us to respond to that urgency. And he gives us opportunities to do that. And this is one, for example, today. But he has this urgency in his heart so that we would know that we are not alone. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the key, that we're not alone. To me, that's what the enthronement is all about. First of all, when we come into this church, what do we look for? We look for that sanctuary lamp. Soon as our eyes fall upon that sanctuary lamp, we know by faith as we get onto our knees, that God is with us. God is with us. So that sanctuary lamp speaks a word to our hearts. Well, too, so does that image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus that our Lord had requested that we put in a prominent place in our home. Acts much like that sanctuary lamp. It reminds us that God is with us. And we need that so much today because we think we're fighting our battles on our own. Not so. God is with us. And so that icon, that image of the Sacred Heart in a prominent place helps us to think Jesus, to be reminded of the fact that he has chosen to come into our home and that he is so welcome. I've said this before to so many, that he becomes, as the days and weeks and years go by, he becomes so real that when I come home from a mission or a gathering, I open up the door. Jack's usually dragging my bags. I open up the door, and I just yell in, "Jesus, I'm home." He's taken up his residence there in my home. Imagine. And he wants, it's a mystery to me. But the gift of it is that we become aware of the fact that he is with us. It's a grace. Now, why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want to be aware that Jesus is with you in the good times and the difficult times? And all you have to do to be connected with him, for me, is just to sit on that little white couch and sit there before that icon, that image of the Sacred Heart. We have a very large image of the Sacred Heart in the Anson household. It has spotlights on it. And you come into that home, you don't even have to say a word. It already evangelizes with us not saying anything. Which reminds me of a time, I don't know if it happens here or not, but it reminds me of a time when the doorbell rang, and I went to the door, and there was these nice young people that were there, and they had all kinds of pamphlets. All the way to Ohio, too? And so as I open up the door, and they have all these wonderful pamphlets, well-dressed, very polite, they simply say to me, "Do you know anything about the kingdom of God?" So I look at each one of them, smile, and say, "Come on in." So I bring them into the living room, and I flip on the spotlights. And there's this large image of the Sacred Heart. And I turned to him and I said, "Do I know anything about the kingdom of God? I work for the king." Shoo, out the door they go. And I can see the dust in the driveway. And I'm saying, "Lord, Lord, that was so easy. Send some more in, send some more in." I said, "I don't have to say anything. Just point to you and say that you are the king." So that icon, that image of the Sacred Heart, speaks a word. I often think about that story, and I think about why then Jesus said, "I will bless every home, every dwelling, where an image of my heart is exposed and honored, showing its special veneration in view for others to see." Well, that happened to be in view for others to see. And there's been many others, and those of you who have had the enthronement of the Sacred Heart know that. People will come to your home, and they'll just say, "Gee, there's just like such a peace about this place, you know?" And they recognize that, and it's true. And he said that in one of his promises, "I will bring peace into your families." Now, whoa, do we need that today? But what kind of peace is it? Well, let me tell you a story. One time I was in the kitchen, and my oldest son, Pat, was there with his three little girls sitting around the table. And the telephone rang. Now, I had three boys and a daughter. The telephone rang. I answered it. And the voice on the other end said, "Do you know where your daughter is?" And so I said, "No, do you know where my daughter is?" So now I got everybody's attention around the table. And so I repeated what I heard. "Yes, your daughter is in the hospital. She's overcome with carbon monoxide poisoning." Now, she was 7 months pregnant. So they began to tell me the danger that this could be, not only for her, but for the child. So I repeated what I heard. Now, my oldest son, Patrick, he has a tendency to hyperventilate when he has no control over a situation. I see smiles. Some of you do the same thing, hmm? So he began to hyperventilate. My granddaughters were typical granddaughters. "Aunt Lori, Aunt Lori." And they're running around the kitchen. "Aunt Lori." My husband was like numb. He just got up and the chair fell back. I'm still standing there in the kitchen with this telephone in my hand. And everybody disappeared. And there I am. And I'm trying to take in the words that I had just heard from this stranger. Well, it was a given. I can still see myself as I relive these stories. I could see myself turning and just heading in to the living room where that large image of the Sacred Heart is in a prominent place in her home, a place where we've come to in the good times and the bad times, as family gatherings, as only part of families coming together. For the grandkids that need help, you bring them there, and etc. So this was a place where I just started to move into the living room. There we have like a sanctuary lamp burning next to the image of the Sacred Heart. And so suddenly I find here comes my son Pat. And then around the corner here comes my granddaughters. And then here comes my Jack. Now I didn't say to them, "Come on, everybody, get together, get together. We got this problem. What are we going to do about it? Let's get together and pray." What happened was that as we stood before this image of the Sacred Heart, is I just began to talk to Jesus about this phone call. And suddenly, cannot explain it, but suddenly our hearts that were so anxious a few moments ago, suddenly there was this blanket of peace that came over us. It was like our hearts were stilled because suddenly we recalled to mind that God was with us. Now, what kind of a peace is this that you receive when you don't even know what the outcome is? But that's the kind of peace Jesus wants to give to us in the good times and in the most difficult times. To trust that he is with us. As I said before, that to me is the message of the enthronement, that we become aware of his presence within our home. John Paul II tells us this. He said, we need to be consciously aware of the Lord's risen presence in our midst. We are to be consciously aware of the Lord's risen presence in our midst on our faith journey. That image of the Sacred Heart helps that to happen, to be consciously aware. As I said, the image of the Sacred Heart helps you to think Jesus. Whether you're at the sink, mowing the lawn, whatever it is, that image may come to your mind, and you think Jesus. You may have something that you want to say to him, but somehow through the enthronement of the Sacred Heart, it's easier to connect with your heart because of his heart now dwelling in a special way in your home. And then, of course, here in the big church, you know. I think there's a great separation, they say, between church and state. I think there's a greater separation between church and home. It's like we come in here, and, you know, and here is Jesus, and then when we leave, it's business as usual. I think that's where the greatest separation is. It's like, well, what happened here? And so the enthronement of the Sacred Heart helps us then to have a deeper respect and love for Jesus in the Eucharist. One time as I was praying, I said to Jesus in my prayer chair, as I was preparing for Mass, I don't know why this came to my mind, but I said, all right, Jesus, I'm prepared, I'm reading here. What does your word say to me before I go to receive you? By the way, how do you want me to receive you in the Eucharist? I never said a prayer like that in my life. How do you want me to receive you in the Eucharist? Well, I closed my eyes and it was like a DVD. Suddenly I saw myself as a young girl in my home with my parents, and I was dating Jack at the time. And so my father said to me, now Jack's going to be coming in a few minutes, and what I want you to do, he said, is to wait here in the living room, let him park the car, get out of the car, come up the steps, ring the doorbell, I'll answer it, and then you greet him. That's the proper way to do things. Okay. And so he happened to step out of the living room. That was his first mistake. So we had three windows in the living room. And so suddenly as I'm waiting for Jack to come, I went to one window and looking, and then another window and looking, and another window and looking. There was this great anticipation, this great expectation that was growing and growing more in my heart as I was looking for Jack to come. Sure enough, now he comes around the corner and I see him right by our house, and he pulls into the driveway. Well, I just went right out that front door. I jumped down those steps. That's when I could jump. I jumped down those steps. Jack's trying to get out of the car, and I just whipped my arms around the one I loved. And then Jesus spoke to my heart. That's the way I want you to receive me in the Eucharist. With great anticipation, with great expectation. And then I come, and then we embrace. So definitely, devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is very Eucharistic. And it helps us to understand love in our relationship with Him and with one another. Today, as we look around and see all this darkness that we have, I think about Paré de Monial. That's the place in France where our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary. And one day in the prayer chair, I'm sitting there, and we're getting ready for the Sacred Heart World Congress. And so just wondering, you know, what was in the heart of Jesus. And I look over, and I have this little plaque. And I see in this plaque, you've seen it. It's where Jesus has got his arms out like this, and there's rays of light coming from his hands, and rays of light coming from his feet, and he's like all bathed in light. And then there's St. Margaret Mary. And I remember her remarking about that, how he came to her. And I saw this light, she says, coming from the sacred wounds in his hands. I saw the light coming from the sacred wounds in his feet. In fact, he looked like he was bathed in light. His whole chest seemed to be as light as light can be. And I thought, where is this coming from? And I felt this warmth come over me. And then, she said, he pulled back his robe and pointed to his heart. And he said, behold this heart that loves so much. But instead, it receives this indifference. As I looked at that, I thought, this is what the world needs today. They need the Sacred Heart of Jesus, because we live in this time of darkness. And Jesus comes as light, light flowing from his hands, his pierced hands, from his feet, from his heart. And he wants to bring that into our homes, which seems to be so broken and so dark. Bottom line is, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. And you know who gets it? The kids get it. We're doing a mission in Tennessee. And afterwards, we have a table where people can sign up for an enthronement, anticipating that we will have enthronement promoters there that will be trained. And so table was not very active, but suddenly I see this little 9-year-old boy come up to the table, and he was signing up for the enthronement. Mother was standing right by him and said to him, son, what are you doing? And he said, I'm signing us up for the enthronement. She says, well, wait a minute. She says, your father and I haven't even discussed this. And she said, and he said, what's to discuss? We need more love. Oh, I hope I didn't break this. So he says, we need more love. And once he said that, then, of course, all the other 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds, they started standing in line and signing up. What's the parents going to say? No, we don't need any love. So these kids, they get it. And they're so open to, you know, the graces that are so available to us, especially if we open ourselves up to the heart of Jesus through the image. Now, there's no magic in that picture or icon of Jesus. Don't think for one minute that just because we have the enthronement of the Sacred Heart and we have that image there in a prominent place that he loves us more. No. The gift of that enthronement in the Sacred Heart is that, one, we become aware of his presence, and two, we are given the grace to want to respond to that love. And that responds to Jesus in Pare Lemoniel. There is this indifference. That's why we need the enthronement in the Sacred Heart. John Paul II says our hearts were not created to be indifferent. Our hearts were created to be a home of love. Don't see that too much. I just see a lot of sad and mad, angry people who are hurt. You may see it too. Might be in your own family. Might even be in your neighborhood. And so that image isn't that. It, you know, has no, it's not a magic wand. It's not like my daughter who was a hairdresser. And this woman came in, she said, I saw this out of the book, and I'd like to have you fix my hair like that. So my daughter looked at her and picked up a comb and looked again at her client, and she said, you see this, honey? This is a comb. It ain't no magic wand. So neither is, you know, the enthronement of the Sacred Heart a magic wand. We have to work at our relationships with Jesus. And I'll tell you just a few stories to put flesh on that. One about the kids getting it. In the schools, I have an opportunity to have like, say, second, third grade, and then fourth, fifth grade. I love the 8 and 9 year olds and 10 year olds. And so I talk about Jesus. It's just like that Saint Margaret Mary said, or Sister Margaret Mary said to Father Bill when we went to the Nashville Dominican, and she said, "Are you here to talk about Jesus?" You know, and Father Bill said, "Yes, Sister. How is your spiritual life?" 94 years old, she looked up at him. She says, "Oh, I'm just beginning." So every day, you know, if we have that longing, every day there's a new beginning in our relationship. So I take the image of the Sacred Heart and I go to each one of the children. I talk a little bit about the Sacred Heart and tell some different stories and things. And they love stories. And so I show them this image, and I go to each child. I only have, maybe, as I said, a couple of grades. So I go, and I show them this. And then I say, "Wow, look at this. Wow, look at that. He's got wounds in his hands. And he's, look at his shoulders, how big his shoulders are. Wow, and look at that heart." I said, "It's got a crown of thorns around it." And I said, what do you think of this means?" And always, no matter what state I'm in or what school I'm in, there's always some child there that says, "Well, when we do something bad regarding to the crown of thorns around the heart, when we do something bad, it doesn't hurt them in the ear or the knee. It hurts them in the heart. When we do something that hurts others, it hurts him in the heart." And so I take his name in case he becomes a bishop someday. So he says, you know, so they get it. And they're looking at this image. And I have, so look at his eyes. Look at him looking at you. And so why not show them a sacred image when the enemy today has got all these other ugly images that they're putting in front of our kids, even in our school books? For shame. So why not have in your home, carry on you, an image of the Sacred Heart? I just went to my granddaughter's wedding, my first granddaughter's wedding, and I gave her a nice gift, but guess what else was in it? And she picked it up and looked at it, and she said, "I know who this is from." But to have that image of the Sacred Heart. So I show this to them. Now I say to them, "Okay, now, tell me, do you all have that image in your mind?" Because kids today, with all the stuff that's going on, they can retain all this stuff. That's why they go out and do all this other stuff. So I say, "Okay, close your eyes. Now remember his shoulders. Now remember his hands and the wounds in his hands. And now do you remember his heart? That his heart was on fire with love for you?" I said, "Now get all that in your mind." And then I say, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Shh. Come, Holy Spirit." And then there's such a peace, like now. There's such a peace because he comes. And they sit there and I say, "Now, I want you to listen to the heart of Jesus. What is he saying to you?" Again, that prayer. "Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit." And then I say, "All right, now keep your eyes closed. Now, what is it that you have in your heart that you want to say to Jesus' heart? Is your father working? Maybe he doesn't have a job. Is your mother crying and worried about it? Is your grandmother sick? What is it? What's that wound in your heart? Are you having trouble in school? if somebody said something to hurt you. Because, see, we can't let those wounds stay in our hearts. Because if we leave those wounds stay in our hearts, we grow up sad and mad. And our hearts get like stone. So whenever there's that wound, give it to Jesus. So the little kids are all quiet. And so afterwards I say, is there anyone here that wants to share? So a little boy got up and he said, well, I saw that image. And he said, and it was like the frame disappeared and I just saw the image of Jesus. And he said, it isn't what he said to me. He said, it's what happened to me. I said, well, what happened to you? And he said, now he's 10 years old. He said, he took all the sadness out of my heart just by thinking about Jesus, by being in touch with what's in our heart. He says, he took all the sadness. What is a 10-year-old doing with sadness in his heart? Another little girl raises her hand. He told me everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Do you know what that meant? Yes, I told Jesus that I was mad because my daddy got a new job and had to move, and I didn't want to move because I wanted to be here with all of my friends. And then I didn't know anybody there. So he told me everything was going to be all right. And then he told me that he had new friends that he picked out that are waiting for me when I go and move. So she was happy. I mean, you couldn't make this up. So she was one happy little girl from one that was so sad and mad. Anxiety filled her heart. To Jesus breaking through all that. That's what he does. He wants to break through all of those difficult moments. You know, I have a daughter, and my daughter, since she was 12, she's now 55. Now we're all the same age. So since she was 12 years old, she got involved with first alcohol and first pot, and then alcohol, and then as the years went by, things much more dangerous. She's now 55 and is a recovering addict. So I went right by St. Monica and never gave up on her. Never gave up on her. And because she belongs to God. And every time the enemy would try to tell me, she's lost, I got her. And I can remember just saying, she, my daughter belongs to God. And I would never let that go, that she belonged to God. That was my strength in those difficult times. Going down the streets in front of crack houses and sitting there and waiting and looking for her when she was lost. Where was she? What was happening to her? Was I going to get one of those phone calls? Some of you know that. Some of you have experienced it. I may be telling your story. And it went on for years and years. And she got married and had a daughter. Then later on got married and had another daughter. And so as time went on, as the enemy tries to destroy one in particular in your family that's very weak, you know, that's when we have to be very strong. That's when we have to rely on and live in and draw strength from Jesus and from Mary. And so this one particular time, as I said to you, the gift of the enthronement is, I am with you. Please don't forget that. So this one particular time, it as far as I'm concerned at that moment, to me, it was the most difficult time in my entire life. My daughter was arrested, and we went to court. The Blessed Mother's heart I could identify with as I saw them take my little girl, and she's a tiny little thing, take and throw her arms behind her back and click on the handcuffs. And I just thought of the Blessed Mother and how they pulled back Jesus' arms and locked his hands together. And that look she gave me was one I'll never forget. It was like, help. Tears coming down her eyes. Perhaps she was wondering how she ever got to this place. Well, obviously, we prayed, but I was in a place like I had never been before. I can't describe it. But Jack wanted to get a bite to eat. I didn't feel like eating. He wanted to talk. I didn't feel like talking. All I could do is to see that scene over and over again. And so we come home, and the television set is turned on. And we're sitting there in the living room. Here's the icon, the image of the Sacred Heart. Here's the couch that I'm on. Here's the chair that Jack's on. And the television is on. Nobody's paying any attention to it. We were all just in this terrible pain. And so that's how we sat this evening, no one speaking. Now the next morning I get up, and Jack goes to work, and I'm at the breakfast counter. And suddenly I looked over and saw that image of the Sacred Heart, and somehow that, you know, drew things out of me, you know, and it was simply, I said, what was Jesus? What was the matter with us? I said, here we were just sitting there, all this pain. We were just sitting there on the couch. We never said anything. Why didn't we renew our covenant with you? Why didn't we fall on our knees and say the litany of the Sacred Heart like we have to do all these things? You know, why didn't we pray the rosary? Why didn't we do this? No, we just sat there. We just sat there. We did nothing. We just sat there in all this pain. And suddenly I heard, I know I was with you. And in front of my mind, like a picture, like a DVD or a picture you'd get off your phone, there I was, sitting on that couch that I told you about, and sitting next to me on the couch was Jesus. And he had his arm around me. And that's when he said to me, when I was in all this pain, he said, I know I was with you. I was so overwhelmed by that that I went to the phone and I called my spiritual director. I said, something just happened. And I explained it. And you know what he asked me? What was the tone of his voice? What was the tone of his voice? And I had to think for a minute. I said, Monsignor, I can't describe it. I said, it was the most compassionate voice I'd ever heard. It was a compassionate heart of Jesus speaking into this situation. From that moment on, now during prayer, as probably many of you do already, you know, do we really stop and listen and read? What is it in the heart of Jesus? You know, this is not about saying prayers, hanging a picture. getting on your knees, nice people coming in and telling you this. This is about living out your life in this battle between light and darkness. And Jesus is there to be with us and support us and wants us to know that's why more than ever that image of the Sacred Heart and the enthronement of the Sacred Heart is so important today, because we're just so imbalanced in our society. And John Paul speaks about that. He says the imbalance that we see in society today is nothing but a reflection of the imbalance that we have in our hearts. We think we have to do everything. Our problems become our God. We think more about the problem than God during that time. So that's why we need the enthronement of the Sacred Heart today more than ever. Now, telling you about the kids. I only have a few minutes left. And are y'all doing all right? All right? Well, you know, we need the Sacred Heart of Jesus because, well, we've lost the touch of life. Amen? Yes. We've lost the touch of the sacredness of death. Amen? Yes. And we've lost the touch of the sacredness of family life. And most of all, we have lost touch with the sacredness of who God is and then who we are in his eyes. Amen? Amen? No more after today. He's pouring out his graces so that we have a better, closer, deeper relationship with him than we ever had before. So there was this little, and some, as I said, these kids get it. Little Sammy was in Oklahoma. Sammy came every day to the mission. Every day he'd be in the second row. There we had, at that time, morning sessions and night sessions. And so at the end of the mission, Sammy came up and says, "You know, Mrs. Anson," he said, "I'm into this enthronement stuff." And I said, "Oh, Sammy, that's great. Where's your parents? And I'll talk to them." "My parents? Oh, well, they don't go to church." And I said, "Oh, but you're here every day." "Yes, ma'am." And he said, "See," he said, they don't really talk to one another." I said, "What do you mean? Do you all live together?" And "Yes, ma'am." And he says, "Well, you see, they yell at one another. A lot of households are like that. Don't know how to talk to anybody." And so I says, "Come on with me, Sammy." Brought him over to the center where we had images of the Sacred Heart. And I picked up an image and I began to do the same thing as I told you I did with some of the other kids. And then I said, "Now look at this heart. Now this is so simple." So I said, "Look at this heart." So he's looking at the heart. And I said, "What is this coming out of the heart?" "Fire." "It is fire." "Fire of what?" "Fire of love." "Fire of love. Well, Sammy, I'm going to give you this image of the Sacred Heart. This, I just kind of stepped out of my bounds here because of Sammy's faithfulness. So I said, "I'm going to give you this image of the Sacred Heart." So this is not an enthronement. But I knew down the road it would be eventually. I said, "Sammy, I want you to take and put this image right next to your bedside. And every single morning and every single night before you get up and before you go to bed, I want you to kneel before this image of the Sacred Heart and look straight at that heart of Jesus. And say to Jesus, 'Jesus, that fire that you have in your heart needs to be in the heart of my mommy and daddy. Bring that fire into their hearts. Amen.'" Well, he took that picture of the Sacred Heart, and folks, I'm telling you, he was like on a mission. He had something to do. He didn't know as a 12-year-old that he could make a difference in his family. You, one person in your family, you can make a difference. It only takes one match to light a forest fire. You might be that one match for your family. So it's so important that today, more than ever, that we embrace this devotion to the Sacred Heart through the enthronement of the Sacred Heart. Now, I'm going to end, I think. No, I'm going to end. But I'm going to end with telling you a story of a little boy that I don't remember where we were, but he came up to Father and myself, two little boys. This one little boy came up and he said, I was kneeling there and looking at that picture of Jesus with his heart, and I think he said something to me. So Father and I said, well, what is it? He said, my heart may look small, but it takes in the whole world. And you're part of that. Your world of family, you're in the heart of Jesus. And lastly, what you do after you have the enthronement is what little Jimmy did. Little Jimmy came down the stairs and said to Father and myself, he came every day to the mission without a father, just came with his mother. And he said, Mrs. Anson, do you have a car? And I said, well, no, I don't, but I think Father rented a car. Why do you need a car? Well, because my daddy left us. And I know he lives in Mississippi. Now, when any time I hear these stories, and all of you know that when you go into the homes as missionaries, you take on their pain, you take on their hurt. You can feel it. And so he said, well, he left us. And he moved to Mississippi. And he said, and I wondered, he said, if you could take me to Mississippi. I'm in Alabama. And I said, well, why do you want to go there? He says, because my daddy is there. And I want to tell him about Jesus. Jesus touched that little boy. He probably wondered what on earth would ever help his father. And during that time of the mission, he got his answer. And it's our answer. Jesus. 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 And may this Jesus bless each and every one of you and the members of your family from generation to generation. And let us be witnesses to his love. Now and forever. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, my friends. Thank you.
This is Faith Alive on listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. That was Gloria Anson speaking to the attendees at the 4th Annual Sacred Heart Congress held at St. Catherine's Parish in Bexley on October 31st, 2015. If you'd like to download your own copy of this talk, please visit our audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Click on the Special Features tab. To learn more about the Sacred Heart Apostolate here in Columbus, please visit sacredheartcolumbus.org. Thanks for listening to us today. God bless and have a great day.